Mark chapter number 7 and verse number 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat with defiled, that is to say with unwashen hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be that they which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups, pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? And he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Heavenly Father, we're going to look at some things tonight that I believe could help the church, help the folks here. And Lord, I know that they've been a help to me. So I would ask, Lord, that you would control the service. May we have open hearts, receptive hearts, Lord. May we hear not just with our physical ear, but may we hear with our spiritual ear, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Since it's been several weeks, let me review just a little bit. One of the things that we mentioned when we were introducing the theme for this year, and it's a little hard to see the verse from any distance, but the verse underneath our theme, founded upon a rock, says, and the rain descended, and the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. The reason it didn't fall is because it was founded upon a rock. The parable begins by saying, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. And we're kind of taking some time and breaking that down. How can we make sure that we're building upon a proper foundation? How can we make sure that we're building upon the rock? Well, it begins with hearing. He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. That's how the parable is introduced. That is how we are introduced to the wise man. We're introduced to the foolish man the same way. He that heareth these things, only then the response is, and doeth them not. And he's likened to one that is building upon the sand. Hearing is very, very, very important. It's interesting, as I begin to pray about this and study this out throughout the scriptures, I began to find in different places and cross-reference and study the idea of spiritual deafness. Jesus said a few things in Matthew chapter 13 when he was asked why he spoke in parables. And his answer was, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. It seems like a contradiction. They hear but they don't hear, they see but they don't see. And by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross. Now, this isn't the fact that God wouldn't let them hear. He gives the reason here. People's hearts wax gross. Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and shall understand with their heart and shall be converted, and I should heal them. Now, I want you to see if you can just kind of break down some barriers and be real honest with yourself and honest with God tonight. You know, one of the things about being saved for a while is that as you look back, and I mean when you begin to measure the times you were saved in decades, if you're honest about it, you can look back and say, you know what, there was times in my Christian life when spiritually I was very perceptive and very sensitive and could really my spiritual hearing was fantastic. But then you begin to notice that there was times in your Christian life where maybe we have waxed gross, we became dull of hearing, and we just, you know, maybe we could say, I can say this, I can look back and say there was a little segment of my teenage years that I sat surrounded by wisdom and with the Word of God constantly preached, and yet I didn't grow hardly at all. And that's not the preacher's fault. And that wasn't the Sunday school teacher's fault, and it wasn't the youth pastor's fault, and it wasn't the Christian school's fault. You know what? I had just waxed dull of hearing. I had allowed myself to become spiritually deaf. I needed to have God do something in my heart so that I could get back to the point where I could hear with the Holy Spirit help and sensitivity to what God was trying to communicate to me through the preaching of the Bible. Young people, listen to what I'm going to say, but this goes for us folks old also. I think that one of the saddest things that can be said about an individual is that they spent a period of their life surrounded by biblical instruction, good, sound biblical preaching and teaching and sound wisdom, and yet missed it. Just missed it. Sometimes, I'm going to say this, please don't, I mean, I've been doing it a long time, but I'm astounded sometimes how somebody can sit in this ministry for a decade and it just seems like they're no farther than the first time they wandered in the door. And they're here. I'm not talking about someone who quit coming. Young people, I'm a little mystified. You know, I love you. And I do. Your preacher loves you. But I'm a little mystified that you can be placed in a Christian school and chapel and Bible classes and Sunday school and three-time services and camps and you can just, you know, and you're there. You're hearing the same thing everybody else is hearing. And yet you've allowed yourself to become spiritually deaf. Now, there's reasons for it. We can get on the defensive and say, well, I can't believe he's bringing this up. It needs to be brought up. If you're not hearing when the preaching is going on, I mean hearing, not just with this, but with this. You're not hearing. Then you need to find out why. You need to get into the scriptures. Why am I not being moved by the Holy Spirit of God? Why am I not being convicted of my sin? Why am I not growing in grace? Why am I not? Why is the Word of God creating a fire in the hearts of so many, and yet I sit here cold? And Jesus addresses these issues, and the Scriptures address them. Now, we covered two of the points last time, and I'm going to probably cover two more this week, Lord willing, and then we'll cover the last three, Lord willing, maybe next Sunday night. Seven causes of spiritual deafness. Quickly, let me review. Number one, some are spiritually deaf because they're lost. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. I'm not going to reteach this. But newborn babes in 1 Peter 2:2, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. So sometimes people set, and they are surrounded by spiritual truth and set into preaching of the Bible, but they never really hear because they're not born again. So that's the first reason, and we won't re-preach that. Number two, some are spiritually deaf because they despise instruction. Now, let me remind you that the word despise there does not mean hate. We're going to get to some other things that are a little more severe. But I believe this is kind of the first step in our Christian life. Despise there in the Bible simply means to undervalue. Esau despised his birthright, so he sold it for a little bowl of soup. Doesn't mean he said, I hated that I was born first. It's just that he didn't see much value in it, considered it not worth all that much, and sold it cheap. Now, what is happening, and I gave a little bit of a pep talk to you this morning about it. Well, what's happening is there seems to be amongst Christians a take it or leave it kind of attitude when it comes to the teaching and the preaching of the Bible. And the preaching of the Word of God and the teaching of the Word of God is important. And we have to, in our minds, heighten again in our minds the estimation of preaching and the importance of it. Fools, the Bible said, first Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise, or can I just plug it in there? Fools undervalue wisdom and instruction. It's foolish to sit there and undervalue what's happening right now. It's foolish to. And so the Bible says in Proverbs 23:9, speak not in the ears of a fool, he will despise or undervalue the wisdom of thy words. I can go to some folks and I can say, listen, I want to share something with you. I see something that you need help in. I see something you need to be aware of. And they will value what I'm about to say. And there's others I can go to and say, I see things you can't see. You need to hear me. And you know what? They undervalue it. They say in their minds, so what? This isn't a big deal. They don't take they don't really understand the importance of the words they're hearing. And I'm not saying that they're rebellious, and I'm not saying they're hypocritical. I'm saying it begins by just not learning to value wisdom. Young people, boy, I want you to get that. Mom and dad sits down and they love you and they know you better than anybody else in this world. And they start saying, you need to listen to me. I'm giving you some wisdom. I'm pointing out something. I'm seeing something you don't see. And you don't value that. You don't listen to that. Man, I mean, if your dad comes to you with a concern in your life, you ought to be all ears and all heart. You know, don't pull the old, well, I'm just going to roll my eyes and here we go again. And, you know, it always bothered me when a young person gets in the habit of using the word lecture. Well, you know, mom and dad lectured me. You know what you're telling me? You're telling me you're not very wise. Because if your mom and dad saw something that they felt like was important enough to set you down and talk to you about, you know what? You ought to thank God for it. You ought to treat that as very valuable in your life. Same way with the instruction of godly people in your life. There's different people that are going to sit beside you or in front of you in a ministry this size. Sunday school teachers and guest preachers and chapel speakers. And you ought to listen very carefully. Very carefully. And take it seriously. We talked about being careful that you don't undervalue. And we gave you some very specific instructions concerning preaching service. I believe that the proper preparation of the heart is just as important as the proper preparation of a message. I think you have the same responsibility, some of the same caliber of responsibilities that I have. Shame on me if I come to the pulpit not prepared to preach, and shame on you if you come to the pew not prepared to hear. And when the preaching starts, there ought to be something where we just set a little straighter. You know, we don't get as comfortable as we can. You know. And we set up and we get our Bibles open and we have a pen with you. Hey, you know, you're not going to remember everything. God's going to tell you something, teach you something. And if you're not there to jot it down in I'm giving you good stuff here. I think that you ought to sit as close to the front as you can. I think you ought to listen. I think you ought to be attentive. I think you ought to take notes. I think this ought to be an important time in your life, the preaching of the Bible. So be careful about undervaluing biblical instruction and biblical teaching. That's the first two things we covered. Spiritually deaf because they're lost. Spiritually deaf because they despise instruction. In Mark chapter 7, there's something else that's brought to mind here. And the next two things that I'm going to cover, I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you in some areas here. So let your heart be open. Very interesting in Mark chapter number 7, what we see here. One of the things that I think never ceases to amaze me, the more that I studied and read and paid attention in the scriptures, is that there was a group of people that followed Jesus just about everywhere he was when he was publicly preaching and teaching. They hardly ever missed an opportunity to be there when he was preaching or teaching or sharing parables or performing miracles. They saw it all and they heard it all, but they didn't see a thing and they didn't hear a thing. And the Bible says that these groups, a group of people, is called the Pharisees, the scribes, Sadducees, Sanhedrin. They were the religious leaders of the time. And we read something interesting in Mark chapter 7 here. Then came together unto him the Pharisees, certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem. Now notice this. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say with unwashing hands. And this is the three words you ought to underline in your Bible. They found fault. They found fault. Now, I've asked you this question. Some of you have heard your preacher address this, but repetition is the key to learning. You know, the Bible says, ask and it shall be, seek and ye shall, knock and it shall be. All right, if you take the concept, if you seek it, you'll find it. Why did they find fault? Because they were seeking. Now listen very carefully. One of the things that will cause spiritual deafness, that will begin to affect your ability and your willingness to really listen to the Word of God, is this. Some people become spiritually deaf because they become critical. Now, this is something we all have to battle and we all have to guard against. Because there's things that will come into every single person's life that has the potential to make you critical if you're not careful. And you know what? Life's not always fair. You know what? Christians, I remember Bob Kelly coming to our church and standing in this pulpit, and he said this one night, I never forgot it. He said, Christians can be some of the meanest people in the world. And I had to say, oh me. You know, I don't know about amen, but oh me. And no, life's not always fair. Not everything works out the way we think it ought to work out. Not everything happens the way we ought to think happens. And not everything we perceive as being fair. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it's a fact of life. Now, folks, listen to me. One of the things that I have to take care of in my life and guard against in my life is becoming critical. I don't want to be a critical person. Oh, but preacher, people disappoint you. Well, I'm not going to be critical of people. You know what? Just because folks disappoint me, I'm not giving up on people. I'm not giving up on people. Yeah, but preacher, so-and-so lied to me. Well, I'm not going to be lied to and decide that the whole world's liars. I'm just not going to do it. You know, in the book of Philippians, we're instructed that there are certain things we ought to think about. And if you look at them, every one of those things are positive and good. And there are some things we shouldn't dwell on. And one of the things we shouldn't dwell on is the negativity and the bad and the down and the fall. I mean, this world's full of it. Now, I'm not only giving you a key as far as helping you get more out of the preaching. I'm giving you a key to your personal happiness. Okay, I doubt if there's very few, many people in this room, because of the position I hold and the number of people that I have to help, deal with more negativity than I do. And yet, I think there's not a person in this room that would stand up and describe Pastor Jerry Ross as a negative person. I know we have to deal with things, but I'm not going to let it ruin my heart. I'm not going to let it ruin my attitude. I'm not going to walk around seeing the glass half full. I'm just not going to do it. You know why? Because I'm not hurting anybody but myself if I go there. I'm just going to make me miserable. And you have to guard against it. Folks, I want to be honest with you. And sometimes, you know, I don't want you to spend the rest of your life blaming everything in your life on your childhood. But I do think you need to know yourself. If you were raised in a critical home, and some of you were. And you know what? You didn't get to choose that. You just were raised in a home where it just seemed like it was a hypercritical negativity, everything bad, and that's what you heard for 18 years growing up. You understand you're going to have the tendency to go there, if you're not careful, real easily. And so for some people, it's more of a battle than others. But at least be aware of it. And ask the Holy Spirit of God, Lord, when I start just getting critical, when I start just latching on to the bad right away instead of the good, please smite my heart. Please tell me, remind me what I'm doing. Now, folks, I'm human too. There's times when I'm walking around and mumbling and complaining under my breath, and I get stuck on one little thing, and the Holy Spirit of God, isn't He faithful?
Amen.
Thank God for the Holy Spirit. That will come up beside me and say, what in the world are you doing? You've wasted, how long you wasted now walking around with all this junk? And I mean, I want to treat it like sin. I want to stop and say, God, forgive me. Because you know what? I do control what I choose to think about. Boy, God's made our mind, it's a wonderful thing. I mean, the most complex, I don't care where technology goes. There's nothing that they can manufacture in technology that's as amazing as the human brain. I mean, we don't even understand it. God did a wonderful thing. But as complex as your mind is, here's one very simple thing God did. He made it so that you can only think of one thing at a time. Preacher, I don't know how to overcome a negative thought. Okay, I'm going to give you a deep truth. Here it is. Think a positive one. It's not that simple. Yeah, it really is. Yeah, oh, no, you want to be a victim. Stop. I'm not going to let you be a victim. Stop. Stop it. Stop it. Nip it in the bud. Nip it in the bud. I love that clip, man. My life was changed by Bob Newhart, man. You know, as much as we laugh about that, that is the answer to 99% of our problems. People want to come in and they want to take 30 minutes laying the groundwork of their problem. And while they're laying the groundwork, they're patching every possible solution. And they want to construct this fortress where by the time they get done, I am left in an impossible situation because there's nothing that I could say that ever is going to help them. And you know why? Because they want to be what they are. And 99% of the things could be solved with two words. Stop it. Amen. Preacher, I'm just depressed. Well, be happy. Oh, well, you don't need a pill. You don't need to see a psychiatrist. You don't. You know, how do you overcome negativity? I mean it. You just, so it's so easy to fall in this trap. Okay, some of you kids were pretty positive kids and really had good attitudes before you started hanging around a negative kid. Come on. Some of you parents, you know what? You used to love Blessed Hope Baptist Church before you started hanging around some negative people. I'm just telling you the truth. Remember when you, me and you had a real good relationship? By the way, we still do on my end. You know why? Because I don't listen to junk. If you wouldn't listen to junk, you wouldn't have a problem either. Some of the best advice I can give you is there's such a thing on your phone as you can block numbers. You got to just block some numbers. I'm helping you if you'll let me. I mean, the minute that a critical spirit begins to take over, you become like this group of people. Faithful people that show up and come, and yet everything is filtered through this searching process. I mentioned it this morning. You've just become so critical that you show up at anything. I mean, if we have a church family activity and we have a blast, there'll be a handful of families getting a car and on the way home. Well, I think that I'm not sure they should have had Barney Fife on the wall of our fellowship hall, a building dedicated to Jesus Christ. I mean, you know, the banner is the wrong color. The flowers should be more pink than purple. The paper's too bright. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter because that's what you're honed in on. Stop it. I don't know what else to tell you. Stop it. Because there's a lot of wonderful people here. There's a lot of wonderful things going on. And there's people getting... I mean, you just got to choose what you're going to see. And it doesn't mean we ignore problems. It doesn't mean there's not real life problems. It doesn't mean we don't stop and deal with problems. It means that we don't let those things define our lives. So be very careful against this. You say, preacher, is there a biblical cure for this? I think 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Turn there, or I'll have you look at it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. I think sometimes we have to just evaluate our hearts and say, now as I come to sit under the preaching of the Bible, am I looking to for something to disagree about? And I'm not saying that you shouldn't carefully consider what's said from the pulpit and have an open Bible in your lap. I get all of that. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. I think that's the cure. Notice this, he said, we thank God without ceasing because of this thing. When we preached, you received the word of God, which you heard of us. And you didn't receive it as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. And because of that, folks, it was able to effectually work in the hearts of those that believe. And so some of you are walking in, and you know what? You're saying, let's see what Pastor Jerry has to say. Stop that. What you need to do is you need to come in here and say, let's see what God's going to say to me today. Okay, I'm going to mess up. I will. You can't talk as much as I do in front of people all the time without miswording something from time to time or misspeaking. I mean, honestly. All right, I'll just plead guilty now. I'm not 100% perfect. But if that's all you're looking for and waiting for, you're being robbed of so many wonderful truths from the Bible. You know, be careful. I got a letter. My wife, I think I'm going to start having my wife read all my letters and then just lay the ones on my desk that I really should read. But we're laughing about it in the car. I told you, and I'll treat this sacredly, but I went to Rhode Island, preached 9 times in 5 days. Saturday night youth rally, Sunday school Sunday morning, a parent workshop before the Sunday evening service, Monday, a leadership workshop for the Tuesday evening service, Tuesday and Wednesday. And I got a letter from one of the men that went to the church, and he wrote the letter, brief introduction, and there was one thing that I said in one of the messages that he felt like I should have said a little differently. And he sits down and writes a letter and sends it to Jacksonville, Indiana. And I think of all of the things that I said in 9 messages. And I'm not hypersensitive, folks. I really am not. But I got to be careful what I say here. I had somebody visit the church here three months ago, came in here. And at the end of the service, asked if he could see me, a visitor. It wasn't one of the regulars. And he had a little flip note card, and there was 3 things that I had said that he felt like I should have worded differently. And that's the only reason he wanted to see me. Can I say this? And you know what? The guy's probably a great guy. But there is no way in the world he's ever going to be helped from the pulpit. Because you know what? He comes for one reason. What can I find and nitpick about? I'm just going to listen, and you know, come on. Now, that may seem extreme, but if you're on that road, that's what's at the end of that road. And pretty soon, you're surrounded by wisdom, and you're surrounded by truth, and you're surrounded by blessing, and you're given the Word of God, and you're not hearing it. You're missing it. You know why? Because you're honed in on 1 or 2 things that you've got a critical spirit about. So be careful of that. Now, let me give you another reason. Some are spiritually deaf because they're lost. Natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. Some are spiritually deaf because they undervalue preaching. They just kind of zone out. They don't hate it, but they just don't really give it the respect it deserves and consider the value of it. Number 3, they begin to become critical. Number 4, some are spiritually deaf because they are rebellious. Go to Jeremiah chapter number 5. And I think that there is a progression here. I think those that undervalue the Word of God begin to become critical, and those that become critical become rebellious. Now, Jeremiah is an interesting study. I mean, Brother Jeremiah, bless his heart, he got called to preach and sent to a nation that was already so bent on backsliding that God had already pronounced judgment and told Jeremiah, I'm gonna let a heathen nation come in. I'm gonna let a heathen nation destroy them. I'm gonna let them be taken into captivity. And so Jeremiah was assigned the duties of preaching to a nation that would not hear him. And yet God called him to preach to that nation anyway. You know, I'm gonna tell you. And I've talked to a lot of preachers, and through the years, I've listened to testimony. Sometimes there are the best, and I mean some of the best choicest men of God that are sent to churches and communities. And they labor sometimes for years. And you know what? It's a rebellious people. There are men that are sent to churches, and God does not send them there thinking that they're going to turn. He sends them there so that that man will stand as a witness against their rebellion. There's very few preachers. If you talk to preachers that have been in the ministry a long time, where God at some point didn't send them in part of their ministry, talk to some of these old timers. And they may be pastoring a successful church now, but there was a time period where God just sent them to be a voice of judgment against a rebellious people. And Jesus said that to his disciples. He said, I'm going to send you 2 and 2, but you know what? You're going to come to some cities, and here's the term he used, they're going to be unworthy. And he said, you're going to preach against them, and they're going to harden their heart, and they're not going to listen. He said, before you leave, now think about what he said. Think about this. Now, this wasn't just a figment of speech. I can see these disciples stopping outside the gates of those cities and slipping their sandals off and beating the dust off of their sandals. He said, don't even carry the dust of their streets out with you. I sent you as a witness against their hard-heartedness. And so when I hear about a preacher that goes to a town and maybe he pastors a church and he's there for 5, 6, 7 years And at some point, God gives him liberty to leave. And he looks back sometimes and thinks, God, what was that all about? I mean, honestly, okay, a few people got saved, and yeah, I'm not saying there wasn't anything good happened, but what was that about? You know what it's about sometimes? It's about God sending a man of God with the word of God to stand before a rebellious people so that when they stand before the judgment seat of Christ, they can't say, well, if you'd have sent us a prophet, we would have listened. And so that happens. And so that's what Brother Jeremiah's lot was. I mean, we don't have time to study his whole life, but think about it. I mean, folks, they mistreated him. They imprisoned him. They threw him in a pit in the mire and left him down there. They ridiculed him. There were other people that were prophesying at the same time, only they were not saying what God said to say. They said what brought them favor in the eyes of the people, in the eyes of the leadership and the politicians. We got them guys all around too here in America. But Jeremiah said, you know what? Whatever God tells me, I'm going to say. And Jeremiah 5, verse 21, notice what it says here. Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over. But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. And Brother Ward, you've preached to those kind of people, and I've preached to those kind of people, and anybody in here that's preached very much has preached to those kind of people. And you know what? You pour your heart out and pour your soul out and you bring the word of God, but you know what? They've already predetermined that they are not going to do what God says. Well, that's a dangerous place. You're talking about lost people. No, I'm talking about saved people. Please keep your heart open. You bring up words like rebellious, and people who are rebellious get on the defensive. You're on the defensive because you're rebellious. If you're not rebellious, you never have a problem with somebody preaching on rebellion. Never bothers you. I mean, it doesn't. Ezekiel 12:2. Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. You know what? He said, you know the reason they're experiencing spiritual deafness? Because they have let the poison of rebellion fall into their heart. 1 Samuel 15:23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. I'm sitting here and it's on the tip of my tongue and I want to name some places. I mean, I've been to a church in this county and tried to help a preacher several times. And buddy, after two or three times of going and preaching that meeting, I sat down with that brother and I said, you know what, you stay as long as God tells you to stay. But you may very well be here more as a witness against these people than to see God be able to do anything significant. You say, well, wait a minute. If he had the power of God, well, okay, let's talk about Jesus when he went to Nazareth. Maybe Jesus needed the power of God. Maybe God should have sent a little better preacher into that situation. That's not what it is. It's not what it is. You know why he could do very little miracles, few miracles, but I said little miracles there? Because, you know what, of their unbelief. And you know what, you can go some places and you can preach your heart out, and you know what, they'll stand there and they'll stare at you, and they've already made up their mind when they come in, they aren't changing, they aren't moving, they aren't doing anything different. Listen to me. You say, oh, that's them. It could be us. It could be Blessed Oak Baptist Church. If we begin to let this creep into our heart, I think the most dangerous thing, church, please listen to me. Now, the reason God gave you a pastor for a reason, to help you in moments like that. But I don't fear the person in this. I don't fear for the person in this church that knows they've got problems and knows that they need to grow and know that they're not where. I fear for the person who sits out there and really, no matter what I say, I can't help you because you think you've arrived. And you know what? The people with that attitude, it's the most obvious in their life that they haven't. And yet I can't help them. You know why? because anything that I preach that doesn't line up with where they're already at, they rebel against it. Okay? This Bible is going to confront every one of us with our shortcomings. Every one of us. And if we react in rebellion when the Word of God shines a spotlight of a problem in our life, you're in a dangerous and scary place. Because all of a sudden you can be here and you can be surrounded with knowledge and wisdom and understanding and truths and principles that could just help you to grow and be everything that you could be. But if you begin to develop a rebellious heart against it, then pretty soon you stagnate. You hear, but you don't hear. Proverbs 17:11, an evil man seeketh only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. Rebellion is such a dangerous thing. Remember what I said a minute ago, the sin of witchcraft? I believe when a person becomes rebellious against the Word of God and the teachings of the Bible, then they have opened a door. Listen, witchcraft, folks, is you cannot participate in witchcraft without opening doors into the invisible satanic world in your life. And you talk to people that have that in their past. You talk about how much they struggled, the battle they had to fight before God freed them for. If you have ever dabbled around in the occult, you know that you opened a door in your life for a while that could never be shut without the power of God and the help of God. Almost a miraculous a rescue had to happen in your life to break the chains of that. Well, the Bible says that's what rebellion is. It is as or equal to the sin of witchcraft. And young people, parents, because it's just not kids that get rebellious. Come on now. It's not just kids that get rebellious. We just, as adults, are a little wiser on how we hide it from others, but not from God. And you begin to allow the seeds of rebellion to grow in your heart, where all of a sudden the preacher who used to come up here and preach and you used to receive it with gladness and thank God for it, all of a sudden just the sight of a man of God walking to the pulpit causes an animosity to raise up in your heart. Listen, you need some help. You need some help. You need revival. You have given Satan a toehold in your life. And sooner or later, if it's not dealt with, he will expand and expand and expand his control in your life. I understand that a Christian cannot be demon-possessed, but we can be demonically oppressed. And that can only happen if we give the devil license. We have to give him license to do it. And rebellion is one of those dangerous, dangerous things. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 8, Now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. Think about this. He said, I want you to go get a table or a tablet. I want you to note this down in a book that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. This is what he wanted to write. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, and the seers are the prophets, see not. And to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Now, listen, and I'm done. I have watched churches disintegrate into a little nest of rebellion. And you know what? Every once in a while, the Lord will sneak a prophet in there somehow. And he'll stir them up. And you know what? They'll kick him out. Or they'll try to. They don't want him. Boy, the next time they get together and say, we need to do a little more thorough job in who we bring to be the pastor of our church. But you know what they want? They don't want somebody that has a vision. They don't want a seer. They don't want a prophet that's going to proclaim the word of God. They don't want somebody that's going to make them look at what the Bible tells them they need to look at. They are looking for somebody that's going to come in and say smooth things and pat them on the head and talk about how wonderful they are and never say anything negative and never utter a discouraging word and leave certain portions of the scriptures completely alone? I mean, I can walk in some churches and just say, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, and 90% of the ladies in the church are mad at me, and we haven't even turned there yet. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3. Come on now. Let's go to James chapter 3. It's going to be one of them sermons. I mean, you know what? You ought to be thrilled no matter where we go in this book. Come on, God, give it to me. If I need a good old-fashioned spanking, spiritual spanking, give it to me, Lord. Holy Spirit, if you need to break up some fallow ground, then break up some fallow ground. Thank God. Thank God for preachers that have the courage to walk in their pulpit and preach on the unpopular things. Okay? Now, it's kind of popular preaching in a church house against abortion. You know why? Because I'm preaching to the choir. Boy, everybody just gets on, yeah, that's right, that's it. Horrible, horrible. And then you get on envy. Or jealousy. You know, or backbiting. Come on. If it's in here, let's hear it. And if I've got a problem, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Let's look at it. And if I can be better, I want to be. And if I can put my life in a position where the blessings of God can come upon me and my family in some better way, I want to hear it. If it's hard, I want to hear it. If it's tough, I want to hear it. If it hurts, I want to hear it. You know, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. I love preaching. I mean it. I love preaching. Amen. I don't mean the act of preaching. I mean I love listening to preaching. I seek out on a regular basis places I can sneak away and sit and just listen to some old-fashioned preaching. I need it. I need it. I like it when somebody just gets up there and, man, they just tromp all over me. I like coming out of a service with spiritual footprints all over me. The Lord just took a walk. I don't mind getting my toes stomped on. I only got 9 anyway. Don't hurt as bad. Don't hurt as bad as the rest of you, you know. I don't mind it. Come on. Come on, let's hear it. And I'll be honest with you. I love to respond to preaching. I mean, I hardly ever, and I know I don't sit in as much preaching as y'all do, so maybe I just do more catching up when I do. I can hardly remember the last time I went and heard a preaching anywhere. We're at the end of the message. I didn't find myself on my face at an altar saying, boy, God, thank you, I needed to hear that. Boy, God, I needed to hear that. Well, I don't want the Holy Spirit to have to get a hammer out and beat me over the head. I want him to be able to just whisper and say, are you still listening to me? Yes, I am. You willing to go here? We need to go here. Yes, Holy Spirit of God, let's go there. You say what you need to say. And do what you need to do. Because I want the presence of God in my life more than I want anything else. And I don't want a critical spirit, or I don't want a rebellious heart to get between me and what God wants to do in my life and my family's life. Blessed Old Baptist Church, let's be that. Let's be that for God, and let's be that for each other. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd bless. Help us, Lord. God, we're just humans, and we're dust, and the psalmist wrote that you remember that we're dust. Thank you for understanding our frailties and our shortcomings, and for the patience of your Spirit in our lives. Lord, give us a renewed desire, the result of these 3 messages that we'll bring on spiritual. Give us corporately a renewed desire to hear from you. Help us to look back on the timeline of our Christian life and find those wonderful, wonderful times when the Holy Spirit was so clear and sweet. We were so tender and receptive, and church was exciting, and God's power and blessing was, we had a hunger for it. And Lord, we enjoyed preaching. We enjoyed it just as equal, whether it was something we already were maybe fine in or whether it was something we needed to hear. We just wanted to hear from God. Lord, renew that spirit within our church. I think it's here, Lord, to a certain extent, but I pray that you'd revive it and renew it and take it to maybe even a place it's never been before in the history of our church. Give us a heart, Lord, a hunger to hear your sweet Holy Spirit minister to each and every one of us. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name.